If you've been in church here with us on Sundays for the last couple of weeks, you'll know we're kind of going through this little bit of a series over the Easter time, thinking about some of the final words that Jesus said before the cross, from the cross, and particularly tonight my focus begins with the words from the cross, "Why have you forsaken me?" And as I go through, and I'll unpack, you know, why particularly I'm in that place. Just think for a moment about being let down. Perhaps it's something that we don't really naturally stop and think about too much. It's not one of our favourite emotions, is it? But think about maybe being let down by a mother who forgets to do something that you needed. Or maybe a father who prioritises something else over spending time with you. Or a child who gets home late, leaving us to worry about them. Think about being let down by the broken promise of a friend. Whatever example of those or another one that works for you. Being let down by someone or something, it's not a nice experience, is it? It's not something that we would excitedly put to the top of our "I really must do that again" list. But listen then to a comparison to that, to how a promise of a close companion sounds. Listen to these words. "Lord, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." The words of Peter, the disciple. And very quickly, those words are followed with other things that don't actually match up with those words. When Peter said those words, the disciples around him would have heard them. And perhaps maybe amongst the group, there would have been a general kind of like agreement maybe, even if it wasn't spoken out aloud. "Lord, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Then in the very next verse of Matthew 26, where that's written, in verse 34, we're told that Jesus knew that Peter would let him down. And then soon, very quickly after that, we read about the reality of Jesus being let down by Peter and the other disciples. And then the part of Matthew that I wanted to read, first of all, is in Matthew 26. And it's in, I'm going to read verses 36 to 45. And I want us to think as we're reading about this, about how the love and grace that Jesus is ready to give in this moment is in absolute turmoil. Love and grace in turmoil. So listen as I read to you. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Then he came back again, and he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." This is love and grace in turmoil. Jesus knew that the time was so close for him to be arrested. And before that, he needed to be alone with his Father, his Heavenly Father, to pray. He's pouring himself out in prayer here. He asked his disciples to do a couple of quite simple things. One was to keep guard, to keep a lookout for those that Jesus knew were coming. And the other thing to do at the same time was just to pray. Two simple things. "Just do those things for me," Jesus asked. And he left them and he went and did what he needed to do. And in verse 38, let's focus on what was going on for Jesus for a moment. In verse 38, Jesus admits that the circumstances of that moment were overwhelming him. That's a strong word. It's a powerful word. He describes it as being so overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And we know what being overwhelmed feels like, don't we? Too much going on. Something we're not coping with, or something that was planned out and ready to go, and then it all falls apart, and it feels like then our whole world is caving in around us. But that phrase of Jesus, overwhelmed to death, that takes it to a whole new level, doesn't it? This is Jesus being honest and vulnerable about the full weight and the full extent of his love and grace was placing on him. And then in verse 39, from that place of feeling overwhelmed, Jesus cries out to God that if it's possible, then please lift this weight of responsibility from me. But here's the thing, only if there really was another way. Not simply because the task was so huge and overwhelming in that moment, but only if God had got another plan. Other than that, your will be done are those words that we need to remember there. You know, sometimes we have to go through things that we would not have chosen to experience. And it's in those moments that we need to know that we have the support of others around us, watching over us, praying for us. That's what Jesus needed. That's what Jesus asked of his disciples. But it's okay, isn't it? Because they're there, they're keeping guard, they're praying. No, they're not, are they? In verse 40, Jesus came back and he found the disciples asleep. After pleading with them to stay awake, Jesus comes back and says to them, couldn't you do this one thing for me? And so keep guard and pray just for 1 hour. And then in verse 43, Jesus came back again and his disciples were still asleep. He went away a third time and comes back in verse 45. The disciples are still asleep. Jesus was being repeatedly let down in this moment by those who had supposedly made a commitment to him, to follow him no matter what, to serve him no matter what. This is love and grace in turmoil. There's so much anguish in these words of Jesus. And it's there in his personal prayer that maybe no one else was meant to hear even. And it's here in the response of the disciples as well. So love and grace was in turmoil. But if we carry on and we move into Matthew 27, then here we see the agony of love and grace that Jesus went through. Love and grace in agony. Let me read those verses to you. Sorry if I keep coughing. I'll try not to. So from the cross, we have these words of Jesus coming up. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and he offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. In that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. The centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, and they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Here we begin to perhaps, in a sense, identify with that feeling of being let down that we were focusing on in the first passage. And we bring it with us into this passage here. This has to be the ultimate letdown almost, doesn't it? Jesus was feeling abandoned by his Father. He feels the pain of rejection and being disowned. And Jesus mentioned last, Gene mentioned last Sunday That right up to the point of death on the cross, Jesus had been constantly serving others. He'd washed disciples' feet. He'd healed a soldier's ear. He forgave those who crucified him. He made sure his mother was taken care of. He spoke to the thief on the cross next to him. And now his overwhelming emotion is one that has him feel like he's being totally abandoned and rejected. This is the agony of the love and grace. The agony was so strong that Jesus felt totally abandoned even by God. We need to hold on to the fact here that actually there is no separation here of God the Father from God the Son. But this is Jesus demonstrating that when you serve to the utter fullness of grace and love as he did, it brings this costly sense of agony with it. The cost, the turmoil and agony of love and grace. It wasn't enough to keep Jesus away from the cross, but that sense of abandonment that Jesus feels on the cross, one commentator I was reading earlier on in the week says it's horrific. That word, horrific, what Jesus was feeling was so terrible. Yet through the turmoil and agony and the forsakenness, we have to see love and grace, or we miss the purpose of it entirely. And it makes what Jesus did on the cross completely meaningless. If there had been another way, then God would have taken it. But Jesus did this for me. And he did this for you. Because there was no other way of defeating the power of sin and death. Jesus gave his all for us. He didn't count the cost or weigh up the pros and the cons. Was this a good idea or not? He didn't add up the time commitment that it would take to serve to this extent and only decide actually there were some other things in his diary that were more important, so he would do that instead. The Apostle Paul encourages us in Ephesians 5 verse 2 to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus being broken out and broken and poured out like a fragrant offering to show us the offer that he has of his love and grace for all of us. So how will we respond? This is so important for us tonight to think about, how do we respond to all of this? Are we going to be like the disciples and say, yes, Lord, we're here for you constantly and with full commitment, and then just nod off in the corner when his back's turned? How will we respond to Jesus this evening? What I want us to do for a couple of minutes is just to pause and be quiet and have some time of quiet reflection. Think about those words that I've said and the passages. Look at the passages if that helps while you're reflecting. And into that space, then let's bring ourselves with a renewed sense of commitment to Jesus in response to him. Remember the overwhelming realization of his love and grace. That's ours. And we need to guard ourselves from being drawn away from Jesus and instead come with our lives fully set apart for him, fully fixed on serving him. So I'm going to leave some quiet, and then we will lead into some songs which we'll share together. So let's just be still.